If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Whatever task you have in front of you that's going to move the needle the most to get there, I guarantee you they're the most uncomfortable tasks. I guarantee it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Today's guest is Zach Booth. Zach Booth came on the show on January 19th. He was episode number 47, was kind enough to come on as a guest. And if you recall that episode, we had talked really about how Zach has developed his business around driving for dollars. It's a technique that has worked really well in the single family space. But if you're paying attention, this is also a technique that you can cross over into commercial assets as well. This is not limited to one asset class. And Zach really kind of pulled back the curtains for us on that day on his business, which I think was an absolutely fascinating thing. One of the things that we talked a little bit about towards the end was a challenge that he was posting on Facebook, which was a 40 grand in 40 days driving for dollars challenge out of his home state, out of his current market, where he was going to go with $1,000 and turn it into $40,000 in 40 days or less. So if you haven't seen that on YouTube, go to Zach Booth's YouTube channel. And maybe, Zach, you can tell there's another name that they should look up.
You can search DFD Mastery on YouTube and it'll pull up my channel. So DFD stands for driving for dollars, right? DFD Mastery.
There you go. DFD Mastery on YouTube. And you can find that. Really, we're going to spend some time today diving into what that challenge looked like and then spend some more time really just diving into the mindset and psychology that Zach implements in order to keep himself sharp and to continue to have amazing success. So, Zach, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back and excited to share the experience.
Absolutely, man. The pleasure's all mine. It absolutely is. I love being able to circle back on these things and go, hey, you know, this is somebody doing something really cool. Not that all of the guests aren't doing really cool things, but I think you've really taken the time to put yourself out there on what it is that you do. And I think that vulnerability is, one, it's awesome. And two, I think people appreciate and respect that and really gain insight from you based upon putting yourself out there. So talk to us about the 40 grand in 40 days. Like just give us the rundown on that. How was it? What did you find out? What did you find out about yourself? What did you find out about your business? I mean, let's hear it.
Well, it was hard. It was not very much fun, man. It was, I was exhausted the whole time. I never drank energy drinks ever. And I drank an energy drink starting at day 5 every day. You know, it's funny because you say, you know, I appreciate your vulnerability and those kinds of things, but the comments and the support on the YouTube channel has been the same thing. You know, it's like, man, thank you so much for sharing what this business really is. Thank you for sharing the downs as well as the ups,
right?
That it's not just rainbows and butterflies. And yes, you made a fortune, but you showed that it is hard work and what that hard work looks like. And to show that, like, even you yourself that's been successful in this industry got discouraged and had frustrating moments and had deals fall apart and everything else. So it was hard, most of all, but the results were absolutely incredible. We crushed the goal. You know, the goal was to take just $1,000, right? The whole goal of the challenge was to show people that they could do it. Right? I don't consider myself the most intelligent guy, the most experienced guy in real estate. I know enough to make money, but I started as a window cleaner. I wasn't full-time in real estate till 5 years ago. I was a window cleaner to that point, right? So I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I know that, but I wanted to encourage other people and show people how possible it is. So the goal is to take that $1,000 and turn it into 40 grand in just 40 days, right? In a whole new market. So I flew somewhere new and I wanted to turn it into 40 grand and we did really well. I don't know how you want to like approach it, talk about like days or like the actual outcomes. I don't know how you want to approach that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can get to the actual outcome maybe here at the end of the show where we can break down, hey, these were the actual numbers. I mean, but before we get there, I want to hear what it took to get there. You confronted some of your own, I think some of your own, you know, frailties along the way as well, which we all have. You know, we all have our own strengths and weaknesses and things we go, like you said, you're pounding energy drinks and you're a guy that doesn't drink energy drinks. So yeah, talk to us about the first 10 days. Like you went to, I mean, this was a brand new city. Had you ever been to this city before? And I can't remember what city it was. I mean, can you tell us what market was?
It was Tampa, and I had never been to Tampa. Okay. I had been to a couple different places in Florida, but I had never even been to Tampa.
Wow.
I had two students that had done deals recently in Tampa, Shane Kirksky and Brendan Harvey. Brendan Harvey's now my acquisition manager there. I love both of them dearly, like amazing guys. But I have students all across the country that are successful. Right. You know, I could have done this challenge anywhere. I wanted Florida because it was wintertime. And, you know, Utah, I don't actually really love the snow. Everyone's coming to Utah to ski. And I'm like, you guys are idiots. Go back to Florida. So I wanted to go somewhere warm. That was like the main criteria. I didn't really have any other requirements other than it was warm. You know, I really believe this can be done anywhere. If there's houses and there's investors, you can do this to business, right? So I was going to do real estate wholesaling because all I had was $1,000. So if anyone doesn't know what wholesaling is, that is where you find a discounted property. It can be a single family home, a small multifamily, or even a giant multifamily property. You can do the same thing, but you put the property under contract and that contract has a clause in there that you can sell the contract. You can assign it to someone else for a fee, right? In the multifamily, sometimes they call it syndications, right? It's a little bit different paperwork, but it's essentially the same concept, right? You get a good enough deal, you get a portion of it, right? Even if you don't have the money. And so it's like, okay, I got to go find enough deals, enough single family homes at a massive discount that flippers will pay me $40,000 for the deals. And I figured my average deal size would be about $20,000, right? That's what my goal was. So I was like, okay, I got to get two deals done. I just got to do two deals, right? And I wasn't sure if I was going to get there. And I had been promoting this and talking about it for like almost a year and a half. Wow. Because I was supposed to do it and then COVID hit.
Mm.
Right. And I had been on podcasts talking about it. And then COVID hit. And I didn't know what the risks were for my family. The day we were supposed to fly, I mean, I had airplane tickets, I had Airbnbs, I had everything because we were supposed to leave in January of 2020. And as you guys know, actually, we were supposed to leave in March. March of 2020 is when we were supposed to go. And we had just gotten home from Hawaii. We had spent 2 weeks in Hawaii, and that was kind of our vacation before we went and did this crazy challenge. And then COVID hit, and the day that we were supposed to fly out, there was an earthquake here in Utah. The runway broke up, like just crazy stuff, random craziness. So we couldn't go anyways. Yeah. Earthquake in Utah was a big one. It was like 0.7. You guys can look it up. But yeah, there was like water coming down and like broke pipes in the airport and broke up the runway. At the epicenter was like a couple miles from the airport. Crazy.
That's Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Salt Lake City. We had a big one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So it's just like the world was not in a line for me to do this challenge. And then I wanted to do it the following year. And that was the plan. And the whole purpose, the whole reason I wanted to do this, like I said, is I wanted to show people it's possible, but also to like show people, to give people confidence. I believe that if you don't have the confidence in what you're doing, you're not going to give a massive amount of action. If you don't give a massive amount of action, you don't get the results you want, and you just spiral downwards, right? With less and less confidence, and you tap into less potential, right? I learned this from Tony Robbins. I totally believe it's true. And I remember when I first got into this, I remember thinking like 40 cents on the dollar, 50 cents on the dollar, no one would sell their property that much of a discount. Like that doesn't exist. And if it does, you're taking advantage of people. Like I was a major like skeptic.
Right.
But back in about 2016, I met a guy washing windows and a super wealthy developer. And he gave me two rentals. After I spent an hour talking to him, he just gave me two rentals, seller finance, over $100,000 in equity, like $2,000 down for a $500,000 purchase price. Like he just handed the properties over because he didn't want to deal with them. He's like, I don't want to deal with them. I haven't collected rents in 4 months. Yeah, the dude's extremely well. He just didn't want to deal with them. He's got multi-million dollar developments and he's got these two single family rentals he doesn't want to deal with.
They were a mosquito flying around his face. He's like,
exactly.
Get rid of this, please.
Yeah. And so I was like, holy shit, like it does work. Sorry, pardon my French, but like it works. You know, I was blown away. I was shocked. Right. And so because I had that experience, I became a believer, right? His name was Stan Nielsen. And so I remember I was like, I want to find a Stan Nielsen. I want to go on the challenge, document it, and show people that they're Stan Nielsens of the world. That if you build a relationship with them, they have a property that's actually a problem to them and they want to just be done with it and they want to pass the opportunity on to someone else. It exists. And I didn't believe it until it happened to me. So I wanted people to be able to see that, you know, and you asked, okay, what do the first 10 days look like? Well, when I landed, there's some things that had to be done to be able to do a deal, right? I had to have title companies on board. I had to have cash buyers to buy my deal once I had them. So I'm having to do all of those things at the same time I'm trying to find sellers.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm scrambling, right? I'm scrambling. And then I have to slow down to get it on film. And the camera guy's like, hey, wait, I got to get this angle. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, there was a few things that we missed we missed a couple appointments and a couple things. Cause I was like, nope, like we're getting the contract kind of thing.
Yeah. We are in the end here to make money as much as marketing. We are here to make money.
Right. We did capture a ton of it, which was incredible and incredibly difficult, but we started day one driving through neighborhoods and looking at our market. I didn't know where I would be going to find deals. I mean, I'd never even been there.
Right.
Rented a car or bought a car and rented an Airbnb. I actually flipped the car for profits. So that was kind of funny. But anyways.
You drove the wheels off of it and then sold it for you.
Yeah. So anyways, we started driving, me and the cameraman, and we started adding ugly properties. Right. We downloaded an app called Deal Machine. If you guys want to use the Deal Machine app, you can use discount code PIN, P-I-N, to get a fat discount. But anyway, so we use this app and it's really cool because if you see an ugly house, all you got to do is tap on the phone and it'll upload that house into your Excel spreadsheet with the homeowner, the mailing address, the property address, all of that information, right? It's incredible. So that's what we started doing. We added as many properties as we could. While we were there, we added thousands of properties, right? But we were adding probably 100 properties an hour, 50 properties an hour, depending on the area we're in. And so all we're doing is we're looking for any physical signs of neglect.
Right, sure.
Because the whole concept is if someone wants to sell a house for speed and convenience, it's because the property is a thorn in their side.
Right.
So if the property is a thorn in their side, they're not going to mow the lawn.
Right.
Unless the city gives them a code violation, right?
Right.
They're going to put tarps on the roof instead of fix the shingles. They're going to...
gutters, the paint's peeling, the...
Paint's...
You know, yeah. Got weeds coming up. There's trash cans that are, you know, dumped over on the side. You name it.
Yeah. And you know this. And it's the same thing for small multifamily and large multifamily.
100%.
You can see the turds that have been depreciated, right? And they've owned them for 20, 30 years and they're getting ready and thinking about selling. Those are the properties you market to.
Yeah, we just bought one. You're exactly right. Like you go, wait, the roof is in bad shape. The playground equipment's janky. The gutters are hanging off. Like, okay. Yeah, you've made your money and you're moving on. So
yep. That's exactly how it works, right? And it doesn't matter if it's single family or large. And so that was the whole concept. Now I have to reach out to them and I have to cold call. There was a 4-day stint that I never left the Airbnb. 4 days. I never got off the phone. From the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, I never got out of my chair other than going to the bathroom and cooking some food. It was horrible.
You did it.
I did it.
You did it. And one that's, kudos to you for just having by the time you're recording this and putting this on the internet, you're come hell or high water, it will get done. I mean, so there is that motivation, but even so, there's still a lot of just, repetition in that grinding it out to success, right? And I think you said something earlier, I want to circle back on where you said that, confidence leads to action and action should lead to success. I think that's my own interpretation of what you said.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I think having the confidence that you're going, hey, I'm doing the right thing and doing the right thing will lead to the results I want.
Yeah. Well, I knew I would do deals. I was just nervous that I was setting myself up for failure, basically. Right. But I think that's what everyone has to do. They have to go, okay, I'm going to invest some money in marketing. I'm going to invest some money into a coach. I'm going to go for it.
Right.
I am going to set a goal of doing a deal in the next 2 months. And now you set up a goal that you can fail at. And that's like, people are terrified to make goals because they're afraid to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's scary. It is scary. It doesn't matter how much success you have. Every time you set a goal, it's like, it's an uncomfortable thing because you haven't done it. If you've already done it, you're not going to set it as a goal because it's not exciting anymore. Right? And on top of all the things that I was doing there to do the 40 grand, I have a coaching business and I have coaches. I have hundreds of students across the country and I had support calls and I had, helping them evaluate deals. I even went on an appointment with Shane Kirksey, my one student in Florida, to help him negotiate a deal, right? While I was there. And I had a bunch of stuff that I was doing. And then on top of that, I have a wholesaling business, right? I'm doing 5-6 deals a month with my own team. And so I'm on KPI reviews and team meetings with them and everything else we've got going on. So, I mean, I'm working a normal two, I'm running two companies and I'm basically starting up a new company, right? from scratch with only $1,000 bootstrapping this thing.
Right.
And so it was mentally exhausting. It was physically exhausting. It was scary. And then the hardest part of all of it is I didn't have my family there.
Mm.
So I have two children. I love them dearly. I'm super close to my wife. Like, they are the most important thing to me.
Sure.
And so my wife's from Brazil. And so we're like, okay, well, the first 3 weeks of the challenge are going to be extremely stressful for me because I got to put all the foundational pieces, cash buyers, all that stuff, right? So you go to Brazil for the first 3 weeks and be with your family. And COVID at the time was just starting to spike. Like, it was just starting to get out of control, right? And it's now starting to taper down now. And it's first part of June. So it took like 6 months where it was like just crazy out of control. You can look at those numbers and those spikes. So anyways, my wife goes down to Brazil. She's like, hey, I want to stay another week. So I had gone 4 weeks. I'd gone 30 days without seeing my wife or my kids, right? And I'm so busy that I'm like, I get like 2 minutes a day on Zoom with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was horrible. And my little boy, like, if you guys watch it, you'll see, like, he couldn't even talk to me. He'd just start crying.
Aww.
Oh, dude, it was so hard. It was heartbreaking. Aww. So they're supposed to fly home on day 30 or day 28. It was actually day 28 of the challenge. They're supposed to be getting on a plane, right? Being home day 30. To fly internationally, you have to get tested for COVID.
Right.
My wife tests positive for COVID.
She felt fine.
She felt some, like, a little tiny bit of symptoms of a cold coming on, but she tests positive.
Right.
And then I was like, you're messing with me. I was like, you got to come home, right? I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore without you guys, right? It's already been too long. I've never gone this long without my family. And so they can't come home. I don't know how long. They say that it could take 30 days till you test negative once you've had it. So she may be stuck in Brazil for a month, which we did get stuck in Brazil for a month. So I was like, screw it, I'm jumping on a plane. So I had to go get tested for COVID, and I finished out the last 10 days in Brazil, but I was just doing follow-up calls and that kind of stuff. But the crazy thing is I got two more deals while I was in Brazil. But I flew down there. My brother-in-law's hilarious. He's younger. He's like 19, 20. And he's like, man, my brother-in-law's a genius. He's like, let's fly to a third world country and get COVID.
Right. I mean, you know, your options are limited. It's like, well, if you guys are going to get it, I'm going to come down and we're all just going to do this together to see my kids.
Yeah. And I'm really glad I did. I didn't get to do a lot of cold calling because my family really needed me. I just did follow up with the leads I had already produced and got two contracts from that. But I, you know, my father-in-law was hospitalized for 2.5 weeks. It was close. We almost lost him. It was very scary. He has heart conditions, and been dealing with that. And it was very scary. So, and the worst part is when he was in the hospital, we couldn't reach out to him and talk to him. The policies of the hospital there were absolutely ridiculous. They took his cell phone from him once he was in the intensive care. The doctor gave us one update a day. So we're on pins and needles just waiting to hear if he's dead or not, kind of thing. You know, it was horrible. So I was so glad I was there to support my mother-in-law. She was a mess, and my wife, you know, and so it was a good thing I was there. But I ended up being gone from my home for 2 months because of this challenge.
Wow. I bet you were ready to get home when you got there.
Oh, dude, it was so good to come home, to be in my home and to have like, and to be back to normal full-time hours. I was like, man, I'm on vacation. You know, the first day back to the office in Utah, I put my Hawaiian shirt on, you know, I'm like, I'm on vacation.
That's amazing, man. I want to dig into the building the foundation part of your story here. When you got there, you said you know, you had none of the contacts, you had none of the usual back end stuff that the rest of us, you know, just kind of take for granted. Our attorneys, our title companies, our whoever, you know, all the other pieces you need to the puzzle. How did you build that?
Yeah, so I just started researching who the investors were, right? And who the wholesalers were. So there's Facebook groups. Right. So if you look up REIA, REIA groups in your city, right, usually there's a couple groups, right? And a lot of times they have Facebook groups around them. So then I just started reaching out saying, who's the biggest wholesaler in Tampa? And I found some big ones. You know, one of them's Joe Homebuyers, which was funny because I actually worked for the franchise owner here in Utah as an acquisition manager until he fired me after like 3 months because I'm not made to be an employee. I love him to death, though. We're great friends still. He's like, you just got to go run your own business, dude. Get out of here. Even though I made him a lot of money. But anyways, he's a good dude. His name's Cody Hoffine. So anyways, I started just reaching out and doing those kinds of things while I'm cold calling. So I'm searching these kinds of things and sending messages on Facebook and like trying to use, I went and bought a second screen. So So I had dual screens. So one screen, I'm just dialing. I'm using a triple line dialer, calling people. And then I'm looking up title companies. I'm asking all these other people who, what title companies do wholesaling, right? They understand the process of wholesaling, of signing contracts and getting fees and understand that paperwork. Because I don't know how to do it. I just have a title company do it, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I started looking around. We found a title company that did our transactions. They were actually horrible. It took them like 3 weeks just to get us a PR, just to tell us like, is there any liens on it? Like it cost me so much time and frustration. I've done a bunch of deals since I've come home. I put an acquisition manager in place. Now it's my second market. We expect to do about $600,000 this year in just that market, which is extremely exciting. Yeah. But you know, the first title company didn't work out. And here in Utah, I went through three title companies before I finally landed with the gal I love now. Right. And so a lot of times that happens, but it's not too hard to find someone to start with. Right. So found a title company, found an attorney, ended up with a probate deal. So I had to find a probate attorney. I started networking and finding money lenders, hard money lenders, because I found two deals during the challenge that I wanted to keep as flips because they were perfectly remodeled at a massive discount. So I could either, I could close on them and list them and make $100,000, or I could just assign them and make 40. And I was like, I want to flip them. You know, since I made a ton of money with other assignments on the challenge, I was like, I'll just keep them as rentals. So I ended up with two rentals from the challenge. So I was doing that. So I'm cold calling and doing these kinds of things. And then you asked about the foundational pieces. One of those is the cash buyers list, like I mentioned.
Wow.
So once I started finding those wholesalers and who those wholesalers were, I started brokering a trade of cash buyers lists. So what that means is I called the one guy and I said, hey, how many cash buyers do you have? He's like, I've got like 2,000 cash buyers, investor-friendly agents, all those kinds of things.
Sure.
It's an email list, right? I'm like, awesome. What if I could get you like 2 to 3 times that? Would you be willing to trade lists? And he's like, sure, I would. It's like, okay, I'll call you when I have those. So then I call the next wholesaler. Hey, I've got Joe Home Buyers on board to trade cash buyers lists and potentially a couple others. Would you be interested in trading lists? How many cash buyers do you have? So I did that. It took me a few days. By the time I ended, I had 11,000 cash buyers from Orlando, Tampa, north to Brooksville, south to, you can look these up on the map, and south down to Bradenton. So I had all of the potential investor-friendly cash buyers, mom and pop, high-end investors on my cash buyers list. So when I found a deal, I could move a deal. And it was all free. So I basically just brokered the trade. I had no cash buyers, but I brokered the trade, so I got them all.
Now, that's interesting. So you were using the smaller list initially to trade up for the bigger list.
Yep.
So you said, hey, you know, this guy, you might have 400 or 500 cash buyers on your list. You know, you just compiled all those.
Yep, but compiled, got rid of duplicates, and pushed it all back out to everyone else.
Right, right. And were you doing all of this manually on your own, or did you have some back end office help while you were doing
that? No, this was all me. The whole point of the challenge was I don't get my team. It's me alone, and I get $1,000.
Wow.
Wow.
So what's a lead cost through Deal Machine? Looking that up. I mean, if you're picking up 50 to 100, you said an hour?
Yeah. So depending on their package, they've since increased their prices, which is kind of a bummer. So you can't add as many properties. I am working currently with Deal Machine to where you can add 2,000 properties. I probably shouldn't say this because it's not finalized, but I'm willing to give up my affiliate commission to give a better price to people. So, which is kind of cool. I think it's not finalized, but right now for like $100 a month, you only can add, I want to say 500 properties in a month.
Right.
But they have bigger packages where it's like as many as you want for like $3,000. They used to have a package where it's like $100 a month. You can add as many as you want.
Right. But that isn't phone numbers either.
No, that doesn't give you phone numbers. So basically, I ran out of money in the first 2.5 weeks by adding addresses and then buying phone numbers for them.
Right.
But I had enough data that I could do that, and I needed to close a deal quickly. But I made a quick $5,000. So then I could increase my marketing dollars. But then I ended up in Brazil and not even really needing it or using it because I just stopped my marketing. But I really only just, I spent all my money on phone numbers. I get phone numbers for like 14 cents a phone number. Yeah, I use a company called Batch Skip Tracing. So if you go to batchskiptracing.com, you can get pricing that low if you use my discount code DFD. Stands for driving for dollars, right? DFD. But yeah, that's all I did, man. I uploaded into mojosells.com and just started cold calling them. So those were the foundational pieces, right? Cash buyers, title company. I just use my purchase contract from Utah, and you get purchase contracts all over for free. I mean, they're not hard to get. Just ask a wholesaler in your market. Yeah, that was it, man. That was a strategy. It's not super complicated. It was a hell of a lot of work. Obviously, there's some skill set that I have that I got because of my mentors, right? How to talk to sellers, how to evaluate deals, how to recognize what's a motivated seller versus a tire kicker. You know, there's those kinds of things, sure, but it's not rocket science, right? I can do it.
No, man, there's a lot of things that go into this. Let's go back to a little bit more, less of the mechanics of it and more of the mindset, you know, that you employ currently. So let's focus maybe on a weakness. Like, what are some challenges that you have to continuously overcome in your own kind of thinking in order to keep propelling yourself forward?
I'll say some of my weaknesses and some of the things that I understand about myself that I struggle with is my ability to retain information. I do struggle with that, actually.
Mm.
So I used to think I was extremely dumb. Like, in school, I really struggled. I cheated my way to straight A's. That or manipulated the teachers into extra credit. Like, but I couldn't retain information. Like, even if I would try, I would test horribly. You know, I really struggled there. And I thought, and I told myself, I had a major limiting belief that the only way I'd be successful is I'd just have to work my way there.
Right.
I always wanted to be successful. I think everyone does, right? But I told myself this story forever that I was just dumb. And I had an experience when I was I was 19 through 21. I went and served a Christian mission in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That's how I, you know, met my wife and how, I'm so connected with Brazil. I was basically obligated with the task of learning Portuguese. They give you an 8-week training session, right, to learn Portuguese. So I'm learning grammar and composition and how to conjugate verbs. And the first day, the instructor's like, hey, we're going to talk about verbs today. And I raise my hand. I'm like, what is a verb? Mm. Like, it was that bad, right? And I really had to apply myself for the first time to like actually retain and learn.
Right.
And I was fluent in 6 months.
Holy smokes. Good.
But I was obsessed. I had to do it. Right. And it was hard because you get 8 weeks and they throw you on the streets and you got to teach religion. Like, it's the hardest thing in the world to teach. Right. No one wants to hear that crap. So it was hard. Right. Like, it was so, so hard, but it was awesome because I finally learned that, yes, I may struggle to retain information, but I'm not dumb. Mm-hmm. Right. I learned some techniques and things that will help me. So I have that weakness. I really struggle to spell. I just stress out even if I have to write an email. Like, it's embarrassing. It takes me forever because I'm like going to Google, like making sure I'm good. But, you know, I definitely have some weaknesses and things that I've learned, but I think those limiting beliefs are huge and very scary. So I want you to, for the listener, like, ask yourself, do you have beliefs of, you know, maybe hearing the story and saying why you couldn't make 40 grand? What are you telling yourself? Like, why are you telling yourself you couldn't do what I just did? And I want you to understand those are all lies that we tell ourselves to get out of our comfort zones.
Right. Right.
That's all they are. They are our mind protecting us from being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I feel like overcoming those is so important. And the way I overcome those, and one of the things that's taken me from a window cleaner to a millionaire and just, you know, helping tons of people all across the country and creating content like this, is I always have a list. I mean, I have a list a mile long of everything that I want to get done and everything that needs to get done. And none of it ever gets done. Right. Sure. Right. That's the joy of an entrepreneur. That's why some people can become workaholics and let their family fall apart, because there's always work to do. And so then you go, okay, well, how do you find success? Well, the problem is most of the people do the tasks on their list that are comfortable for them, like checking their emails and those kinds of things, instead of picking the things that are actually going to get them to their goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I have this giant list and one of them's check my emails, I'm going to go in and archive every single email. And if it's important, they'll call me. Like, that's what I'm going to do for checking that off, because I have other things like being on this podcast, doing the 40-day challenge, going and meeting to collect more private money, you know, things that are actually going to move the needle to my goal, right? You should have 5-year goals, 3-year goals, 1-year goals, and 12-month goals or 12-month accomplishments to hit that 1-year goal.
Right.
Right. And whatever tasks you have in front of you that's going to move the needle the most to get there, I guarantee you they're the most uncomfortable tasks. I guarantee it. So I feel like what's really helped me was having to learn a new language and being so uncomfortable and believing in myself enough to go, okay, like, I can do uncomfortable things, and realizing that, you know, that's what made me super successful, you know, as a missionary, as anything else, is I just dove in and made the decision that I was going to be able to do it. And I really believe like that's what's helped me. But yeah, I definitely have weaknesses. Everyone does, right? We definitely have our own skill sets, but being willing to push through is key.
Yeah, man, that was golden right there. That was absolutely golden. Here in 2021, and I've mentioned this on some other shows, but each year I set like a guiding mantra for the year. It's like this, okay. And so my guiding mantra for 2021 is I must become uncomfortable in everything I undertake. Like that's big, big bold letters. Like if I'm not in discomfort, then I'm probably not doing the right thing. And so I really appreciate, you know, what you're saying there in that our success is commonly found in the things that oftentimes make us, you know, completely uncomfortable. Man, they're this terrifying. Has been great. Zach, this has been awesome. I've thoroughly enjoyed this and I've just loved the skill and the wisdom that you've brought really on the show today. And also, again, you know, just to reiterate the vulnerability and saying, hey, man, this is who I am. And this is what it takes to really put your best foot forward and find success. This has been a blast. Let's find out in the end, what were the final numbers on the 40 days? Like, so you had $1,000, you're going to turn it into 40 grand in 40 days. How'd it wrap up?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know, if you're going to watch just one episode, if you want to kind of like know what this is all about, just go to day four, right? Day four is where like some of the foundational pieces are in place and I'm starting to meet with people and I'm getting people on the phone. It's exciting. I think I got like 3 leads that turned into contracts that day.
Wow.
One of those leads I got under contract that night turned into 3 contracts, 3 properties. And I remember before the event and before we flew out, I said a prayer. I get emotional every time I talk about this because the whole point, remember, I wanted to show people that Stan Nielsen's exist, right? The guy that gave me those 2 properties just wanted speed and convenience. Called up a guy named Jerry Hawes, and he passed away from cancer last week, actually. Wow. Yeah, but I feel extremely blessed and privileged to have met this gentleman. But I call him, and you'll see it on day 4. I call him, and I actually get the wrong number for the wrong house. And I said, you know, do you want to sell your property XYZ address? And he's like, honey, what address is that that we own? And I'm like, he's got a lot.
Right.
I was like, no worries. I'm just an investor. I'm trying to buy properties. Do you have anything you'd like to sell? And he said, well, actually I do. Complete random luck, right? I don't know that it was necessarily luck anymore, but I got talking to him and I went and met with him that night, and his wife was completely standoffish. You know, she was a tough cookie, but I spent like 3 hours in their house. And by the end of it, we were hugging and crying, and I found out he was dying from cancer and I fell in love with him. He told me stories of how he'd hustled and made all this money in real estate and has, you know, served in the Navy, just an amazing gentleman. And I actually interviewed him to have him on my podcast a couple of weeks before he passed away too.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so I became real good friends with them and I loved it. You know, he was talking about taking over mortgages and taking over doing lease options and sub twos and talking to farmers and getting run off by farmers for trying to buy their vacant property on their land, you know, just awesome stuff, you know. But he had these 3 properties that were far away, didn't want to leave them to his wife to manage and deal with after he passed away, even though she was very intelligent, very capable of doing so. He was just trying to take care of her. And so he gave me these 3 properties at incredible prices, you know. And I told him on the phone, you can hear me say, and I said, Jerry, you'll probably make more money if you just listed it with an agent. It's like, he's like, I don't care. That's exact words. I don't care. Right. So it's like, okay, this is the lead. Let's go make money, right? And I walked away with 3 contracts, and it was a beautiful experience because I prayed that I would meet someone like that. You know, in day 4, I met him, right. And I just felt so overwhelmed with gratitude that the challenge was a success to me. At that point, the whole entire 40 days was worth it,
right?
And I was just going to push through and give it all I had. So by the time we ended, we got 5 contracts while I was there, 2 more in Brazil. So we got 7 total contracts. We got 2 of them that fell apart. One of them, we would have made about 30 grand, but there was title issues. There was a big judgment. Right. So I was like, gosh, dang it. You know, I would have assigned it for a chunk, but sometimes you can't control that. And then the next one, I had an offer for like $10,000 above, and then they backed out. It's just not having the clout or the, I guarantee I could have moved it for 10 grand if I was more established. Like if I got that deal now, I would have moved it because I've now pushed out a ton of deals. People know me. People are going to be more willing to give me the time of day. But that one fell apart. Just couldn't find a buyer for it. And it was really disappointing. It wasn't a giant deal. But then the other 5 deals, like I said, 2 of them I kept as rentals. They're worth about $110,000. I've got a tenant in there with a lease option. They're currently working with a mortgage broker. They're just about approved, probably closing about 30, 40 days from now. I'm going to make $55,000 profit on just that one deal. you know, that one's not finalized. The other one, same thing. So I bought each of them for 60 grand. They're both worth 110. One of them's going to cash out. One I'll keep as a rental. I kind of want to keep it more in 12 months so I can do, you know, a 1031. But anyway, so I kept those two. I could have assigned them. It was funny. I called my mentor and I was like, dude, I want to keep these because there's makes way more financial sense to keep them than just to wholesale them. And he's like, yeah, but your challenge is 40 grand in 40 days. Assign those bad boys, get your 40 grand. I'm like, dude, I love money way too much. I'm not killing that. But the third property with Jerry, I assigned for 10 grand. So if like I want to do wholesaling, I want to show you could do that. So those two don't necessarily count towards the challenge, right? The two rentals, because I didn't assign them. I used my own private money to buy them, those kinds of things. Right. But of the actual assignments that I did, I assigned the 10 grand and then I had two more that I assigned one for 30 and I assigned another one for $53,000.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So we assigned $93,000 officially in assignment contract. So I got fees for selling pieces of paper that I signed with sellers for $93,000.
Minus your $1,000 in expense.
Yeah.
You know, obviously living costs, you can't build all that in, but still you doubled you did 225% your goal. That's amazing.
I was very proud of it.
Oh, you should be. You should be. And especially, like you said, getting two more clothes while you're in Brazil. So, man, that's home run. That's home run success. And you've really put yourself out there. I think, yeah, that's fantastic. You should be congratulated, not just in your pocketbook, but also I'm sure you are just in like you said, in your own confidence that's going to pay dividends for you that you can't probably quantify. But that's super cool, man. Zach, I've enjoyed this. Thanks for taking the time to come on today and really just jump into really the mechanics of what you guys have done and also into the mindset it takes to be successful. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.